Blog Talk Radio.
Talk with Vince. I'm Vince. How you doing, everybody? Unfortunately, I missed last week. Hey, I'm sorry if you were all tuning in, hoping to hear me. Well, I am back. Here I am. It's me. It's Vince. Movie Talk. It's Friday night. It's 11 o'clock. Time to talk about the movie. This week, I'm going to talk about Avatar, The Way of Water. How did I saw it this week. What did I think? I'll give you my review. Also, I'm going to talk a little bit about what the heck is going on with the DC film universe. What's going on? And why should we be worried? Well, why should we be excited? Well, we'll talk about that. Also, it's Christmas time, and I want to put to bed the debate on whether or not Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Give you my opinion on that. I am ready. Anyway, so that's Movie Talk with Vince. Let's get this show going. All right, here we go, Movie Talks with Vince. Well, first of all, I want to throw out that number. If you want to call in, the guest call-in number is 914-205-5404. One more time, 914-205-5404. Give me a call. I'll put you on. You can give me your opinion on Die Hard or the DC or whatever the hell I'm talking about. And so we'll do that. Also, remember, a couple of warnings. Number one, opinions. You're going to hear my opinion on things. If that worries you, if you're someone who can't stand to hear someone talk about something that you don't have the same opinion on, well, then you need to go back to your cave and hide. But yeah, I'm going to give you my opinion. So beware. It might not be yours. I hope it's not. Then we can have a discussion. You can tell me why I'm wrong or why you think I'm wrong or why I think you're wrong or whatever. Because remember, no one's wrong when it comes to an opinion. It's simply an opinion. And also, remember, I'm going to be talking about movies, so I might give away some spoilers. So, spoiler alert, I might give them away. So, warning, warning, warning. Spoiler, spoiler, spoiler. That's what happens when you talk about movies. I'll do my best to stay away from giving you the big plot twist on some of the films I'm talking about. But it's something like, for example, if I'm talking about Die Hard, well, that's an over 30-year-old film. I hope you aren't that surprised that John McClane doesn't die at the end of it. Oh, my God. I ruined the ending for you. Anyway, so there you go. So a couple of little blurbs there at the beginning of my show. And don't forget, one more time, if you want to call in, 914-205-5404. Okay, so let's get this thing started. So, first of all, Avatar, The Way of Water. I saw it this week. What did I think? Well, first of all, talking about this film, you can't ignore the original film. So let me give you my quick rundown of my feelings of the first Avatar movie. Number one, I remember when I saw that in the theaters, I was absolutely blown away by the visual effects. The visual effects, and that is absolutely true with this new film. Now it's more than 10 years later. James Cameron has made leaps and bounds with the CGI and the special effects for the new film. So the first film had amazing special effects that when I walked out of that theater, I thought, wow, I'd never seen anything like that before. And that's definitely true with the new one. It's still like, oh, my God, the special effects are even better than this time around. So visually, yes, the films are both beautiful to watch. This new film stands on its own and definitely continues on from where the last film left off. But my biggest problem with the original film was in the plot. See, now, my biggest thing with James Cameron lately is that he's kind of like George Lucas, where George Lucas started off as a great director and a great writer and a great idea man. But then as he got older, he started to focus more on other aspects of filmmaking, especially the special effects. And the stories tended to become a little bit more cookie cutter. And I thought that the biggest problem with the original Avatar was that it was a very preachy film. It was a film that was made to push an agenda, shall we say. it wasn't necessarily a story that came out of James's head because he's like, oh my God, I just came up with this great story. No, it was like, oh, I need to tell people to stop doing what they're doing. And so the only way I can do that is by putting it in a science fiction story, which is fine. And nothing's really wrong with that. And I'm not trying to attack James and saying that that's such a bad thing. The original Star Trek and Star Trek Next Generation were all about that, taking political stories and setting them in outer space so they were easier to digest, shall we say. But I felt that the first Avatar movie was very preachy and it had an agenda to tell, but also it was very generic. The story to me was like, okay, well, you kind of know what's going to happen. This is a bad guy, and the bad guys are very bad, and they're doing stuff that they shouldn't be doing, and now the good guy's going to come in. And you kind of knew where the story was going. Everybody was very one-dimensional in the first film, and I don't mean visually. I mean the characters. They really didn't have much of a background, and only really one character had any kind of a development. Everybody else was just, you know, we're very generic, shall we say that. You're the good guy, you're the bad guy. You do good stuff, you do bad stuff, and then here's the conflict. So I was never really that blown away by the story of the first film. I thought it was good, but it could have been better. And I felt like James Cameron's last really good script would probably be going back to Terminator 2 or True Lies. There were his last two really good screenplays. And Titanic, I felt, was the same thing. Titanic was visually stunning, but the plot was fairly generic. It was typical romance films. It was fine. I mean, I enjoyed Titanic, but I didn't walk out of that going, wow, that story, I didn't know where that was going to go. Like, you knew it was going to go. Iceberg was going to hit the boat, and one of them was going to die, and the other one was going to live, and then there you go. That way with Avatar. With this one, I will admit that I thought that the story was better for the most part, mostly because I didn't know where this plot was going. But on the other hand, I also felt that because the film was so long, and also this is only part two of a four-part story, that it doesn't really have a beginning, middle, and an end. It's just kind of like it's just based on middle. And a lot of stuff happened, and I was a little bit confused as to why some of this stuff was happening. Like the whole setup at the beginning of the movie of, okay, well, why are the bad guys coming again? Why are they so intent on getting our hero when it seems like the hero should almost be like an afterthought? It's because almost like they were trying to turn it into a revenge story, but why on earth would Earth, no pun intended, send all these people to this foreign planet just to go after this one guy? It doesn't make any sense to me. So part of the story, I didn't really understand, I guess, the motivation for the characters. But overall, I mean, it was action-packed. The visual effects were good. Would I recommend this film? Yes, if you're a fan of the first film. If you're someone who loved the first movie, then, yeah, definitely go check it out. And I would definitely say you should probably go see it on the big screen because it is a big screen type of movie. It's the special effects. And the whole effect of the story is almost predicated on seeing it on a big screen. So I would definitely suggest that. But if you're someone who can't get out to the big screen, then you know, check it out at home. But I have a feeling it's going to lose something if you watch it at home. Because it's, like I said, the best part of the movie is the spectacle. It's kind of like with the Fast and Furious films. The Fast and Furious films are great if you're seeing them in IMAX. If you watch them at home, you're going to be going, well, this is stupid. Well, yeah, of course they're stupid. It's not the movies aren't about the story. Movies are about the spectacle. And for Avatar, it's about the message and the spectacle, and the story is almost second. So if you're just watching at home, you're just going to get the story, and it's like, oh, the story isn't as great. So in many aspects, it is better than the first film, but it's not necessarily something that I would say, oh, this is definitely another Best Picture winner. Because the story is a little bit all over the map. That's my review of Avatar, The Way of Water. So if you liked Avatar, go check this new one out. If you didn't, then don't bother. Because, well, that's kind of a no-brainer right there. Anyway, so what's next on my agenda for this week? Well, I also want to talk a little bit about the DC Universe. So for those of you who don't know, not in the know, whatever, let me fill you in. Many years ago, Marvel Comics came up with their Marvel Cinematic Universe, their Avengers movies. Iron Man, Thor, blah, blah, blah. So their chief rival, DC Comics, has been trying to follow suit and be and have their own cinematic universe, but it's been unfortunate all over the map. First, they had their standalone Dark Knight Batman films, but then they decided to, after the third film, just end that franchise and start it from scratch. Brand new Batman with Ben Affleck and brand new Superman with Henry Cavill. And now they started making films that were all going to link together like the Marvel films do, like the Avengers. But they've been all over the map with quality. And fans have not been real happy with them. Man of Steel was okay, but it was really dark. And a lot of people didn't want that from a Superman movie. And it got really big and it was a little bit too much over the top. Batman v Superman then tried to introduce Batman and Wonder Woman, Flash and Aquaman into the film, and also Lex Luthor. And a lot of decisions they made with that one, fans were just not happy with. It was a decent movie. I think that the extended cut is a better version of the film than the theatrical version, but it's still kind of a little bit all over the map. So then they tried to then come out with the Suicide Squad, which was just a really confusing movie. And then with Black Adam and the Wonder Woman, which the first Wonder Woman film was great, but then the second one I loved, but a lot of people hated, mostly because the main villain was a little bit too comical. And then you had Kristen Wiig playing Cheetah, and you were never sure, were you supposed to be laughing at her or not? Because you were used to seeing Kristen Wiig as a comedian, that she's supposed to be funny? I'm not sure. And then when she gets, it was just kind of like weird. The Cheetah character was just kind of strange. She was almost too comical, but not funny. So it was just kind of weird. So then Aquaman was cool, but also the villains was also a little bit weird. And Black Adam, this year, the best part for me for Black Adam was that they brought Henry Cavill back as Superman. Like, yay, Henry Cavill's back. But this film had, again, heroes that you didn't really know who they were. Black Adam, to me, seemed more like it was a sequel to a film that we never saw, called The Justice Society, because it had all these new superheroes in it that you just seem to know who they already were. But you don't, because there was no other movie to tell us who they were. So that entire movie, I'm going, who are these guys? Who's the Justice Society? And what are they doing? I'm just kind of confused. So the film was a little bit too confusing in that respect. So now what's going on with the DC Universe is they already have a couple more films slated to come out, Aquaman 2, Flash is also supposed to come out this year, 2023. But now James Gunn, the writer and director of the Guardians of the Galaxy films, has been hired to take over DC, and his first decision is to wipe the slate clean and say, I'm starting all over. So Henry Cavill now just posted on Facebook and online saying, I've just been fired, but it's okay. I met with everybody. I wish them well. And The Rock basically just said the same thing. He said, yeah, we're not going forward with another Black Adam movie now. Don't know what they're going to be doing. I love James Gunn, so hopefully we'll be able to come back with Black Adam or not. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. There's also another Shazam movie coming out. Now, the problem is now with James Gunn wiping his slate clean, on the one hand, I think that's a good thing because, like I said, the DC movie's been all over the map, and it's been hard to try and keep up with what's going on with them because they've been so confusing lately. So wiping this slate clean is a good thing, but it means that we have these other three movies kind of waiting to come out that now it's like, what's the point? Why bother going to see them? Because they're going to be erased anyway. I probably will go to see them anyway just because, the Flash will be weird because Ezra Miller has had his own share of run-ins with the law, and also Aquaman has Amber Heard in it, which mostly we hate right now. But I think the studio's kind of hoping that all that will die down by the time those movies come out, and people will not be hating Ezra or Amber anymore, and they'll go see the movies regardless. But I was never really that thrilled by Ezra's performance of The Flash anyway, so I don't know. I'll probably go see them just because, but I am kind of excited that James Gunn is going to start over with something fresh, and hopefully it'll be something that we can all, follow like the way we do with the Marvel films. But yes, that's my biggest worry is, but I guess the other my biggest problem is that there was a lot of stuff that was good about the Zack Snyder films and the current DC movies. Henry Cavill, Ben Affleck, these were all great people who did put in great performances. Gal Gadot as Wonder Woman, and and Aquaman, all of them, they were great. The films might not have been as good as they could have been, but the actors were. But now, unfortunately, the actors are all getting fired. They're going to start over from scratch. So it's like, oh, well, okay. That's, you know, it's kind of like, here we go yet again, starting over yet again. But anyway, I wish them luck. Fingers crossed that they're going to be good. But we'll see. And then once, you know, and of course now there's not going to be any more. We'll see what happens with Black Adam and the rest of them. So anyway, so that's my feeling on the DC universe. I would love to see them, you know, I don't mind the course correction. I just wish that we hadn't spent so much time with the other stuff. But well, I guess now we're wiping that clean and starting all over again. All right. So finally, I want to wrap up my show here by talking a little bit about Die Hard. Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Well, of course, we got Christmas coming up starting this weekend with Christmas Eve is tomorrow. And, of course, Christmas Day is on Sunday for those of you who have been living under a rock or don't realize that Christmas is coming up. It is this weekend. So the one big debate that's been going on for years and years and years, and even my sister and I got into this talk a few years ago, is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Of course, my sister insists it is not. And supposedly this past month, I think the original director, John McTiernan, and I think the cinematographer, Jean Dubont, have both come out and said, no, it's not a Christmas movie. I don't know why you guys think it is. Well, here's why I think it is a Christmas movie, but why I definitely agree that it's not a Christmas, but Alive and Dead at the same time. How could that be possible? How could Die Hard be a Christmas movie while it's not a Christmas movie? Well, here's the thing. First of all, we need to define what is a Christmas movie. So if you're going to say that a Christmas movie is, and I guess the strict definition should be that a Christmas movie is a movie about Christmas. That makes obviously perfect sense. So a movie like White Christmas, for example, it's about the holiday of Christmas. A Christmas Story with Ralphie. Yes, that's a movie that's all about Christmas. National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. Elf. These are all movies that, you know, are about the holiday, the Christmas Carol. The Christmas focuses very strongly into the plot of the film, that you can't take those stories and set them in any other time of the year because that's not what the story is about. The story is about Christmas. Those are Christmas movies, and that's what a Christmas movie is. And if you're going to adhere to that as a definition of what a Christmas movie is, then yes, I agree with you. Die Hard is definitely not a Christmas movie because Die Hard takes place at Christmas time, but it's not about Christmas. You could set Die Hard in any time of the year and the movie still works. It doesn't affect the plot. You know, they happen to set it at Christmas for certain jokes and to make the story move along, but it's not about Christmas. It just happens to be set at Christmas time. So from that definition, yes, it's not a Christmas movie. But then if you also go by that definition, then there's a lot of Christmas movies that aren't Christmas movies because even though Christmas may feature into the plot eventually, like, say, It's a Wonderful Life, most of It's a Wonderful Life doesn't take place at Christmas time. It takes place over the course of this man's life, starting off when he was a kid to when he's a young man, and then getting married and becoming an adult throughout the town and becoming a respected person throughout the town. But 90% of that film has nothing to do with Christmas. It isn't really till the very end of the movie when things start going really bad for him, he decides he has to commit suicide to, you know, save everybody else. And he's just so out of it that he feels that suicide is the only way out. Then the film takes place at Christmas. But still, Christmas doesn't ever really, you know, becomes part of the plot. It's, you know, it just, it, you know, he could have wanted to commit suicide at any time. It could have been 4th of July or, you know, Thanksgiving or any other holiday. It's not Thanksgiving, I mean, shall I say Christmas, doesn't really function into the plot of It's a Wonderful Life. But it does end at Christmas, And it is considered a very, 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 very Christmassy movie. And I agree. From my opinion, it is a Christmas movie because it does take place at Christmas time, and it does kind of have the spirit of Christmas, shall we say, even if Christmas never really, features into the actual plot of the movie. Now, having said all that, why do I think that Die Hard is a Christmas movie? Because it's a Christmas movie to me. It takes place at Christmas. It has tons of Christmas music in the soundtrack. They refer to Christmas 1,000 times throughout the movie. The word Christmas is uttered in almost every other scene. It has the great sequence in the film when Bruce has killed his first bad guy, and he writes on, he takes a lipstick or something. I forget what he used. I think it's a red magic marker, and he writes on the guy's shirt, "Ho, ho, ho, now I have a machine gun." It's that the Christmas message. Christmas trees are scattered throughout a lot of Christmas songs are played throughout the movie. So for me, I love watching because sometimes, yes, watching a movie like White Christmas or It's a Wonderful Life or Scrooge or Elf or whatever, all those movies are fun to watch because they do take place at Christmas time and they're about Christmas. But every once in a while, I just like watching an action film, and Die Hard and its sequel, Die Hard 2, both take place at Christmas time. So for me, they're fun to watch over Christmas because of that. And sometimes it's fun just to buck the trend and say, yes, I know it's not a Christmas movie, but it's a Christmas movie to me. So I'm going to watch it. Lethal Weapon is the same thing. Batman Returns with Michael Keaton. All these films take place at Christmas, and they mention Christmas a lot. You see Christmas trees especially in Batman Returns, and they're giving Christmas presents. And most of Batman Returns takes place in and around the Christmas holiday. So, and there's snow falling on the ground and everything else. So to me, those movies are fun to watch, even if I know that they're not technically Christmas movies. But my feeling is Christmas is whatever you want it to be. And so, if you want it to be a Christmas movie, then it's a Christmas movie. Let it be a Christmas movie. And one of the things that I love about Christmas, personally, why it's one of my favorite holidays throughout the year, is because Christmas to me is not about, it's not about the religion. It's not about the religious holiday that it really is. It's more about the spirit of giving, the spirit of putting down your arms and stop fighting each other, even if it's just for a day. One of the reasons why one of my favorite Christmas songs is still Happy Christmas, War is Over by John Lennon, because the part of that song that, to me, encompasses the whole Christmas spirit is the part where John sings, "Happy Christmas, oh, war is over if you want it." And because that's what he's saying in a nutshell is, look, if you want to fight, go ahead and fight. But if you don't want to fight, that's a much better choice to make. And fighting is a choice. The arguments are a choice. You choose to argue with somebody. You choose to fight with somebody, whether it's with your fists or whether it's with weapons or whether it's just with your voice. Whatever it is, fighting is a choice. War is a choice. And so most of the Christmas movies out there that embody that spirit that says, look, you don't have to fight. We can all join hands and love one another and be friends. That's to me what a Christmas movie is. Of course, and then of course Die Hard is absolutely not that. It is without a doubt not that spirit. Because at no point does John McClane ever say, let's just not fight, let's all just hug. No, he has to drop one of their leader off of the freaking building to stop them all from killing everybody else. It's a fighting movie. It's the exact antithesis of the Christmas spirit. So, yes, in that respect, obviously, Die Hard is certainly not a Christmas movie. It is the anti-Christmas movie. It is the exact opposite of what a Christmas movie is. So if you're out there trying to tell me, I heard it's not a Christmas movie, I would say, you're right, it's not. But like I said, I like watching the Christmas because it's got Christmas music in it, and that's all that matters. Because there's so many other movies out there that also have Christmas that are not a Christmas movie. Lethal Weapon, same thing. It's the exact same idea. It's an action movie. It's about people fighting each other and blowing their heads off. It is not a Christmas spirit movie. But it has Christmas music in it, and it is set at Christmas time. So I like watching Lethal Weapon over Christmas because of that. Because it's like, oh, it's Christmas. Let's watch Lethal Weapon. Or Batman Returns. But they're not Christmas movies. Other movies that I also say are like that, like the Harry Potter movies. The first couple ones do have scenes that are set at Christmas, but Christmas isn't part of the plot, and it's only one scene. If you add in all the times they talk about Christmas in the entire Harry Potter saga, I think it would probably add up to maybe 15 minutes of screen time that Christmas has in the entire eight-picture films, or eight films. So maybe 20 minutes tops in all of them put together. And of course, Monty Python and the Meaning of Life also has Christmas in it, and also technically so does Life of Brian. Life of Brian starts off with Christmas and then never mentions Christmas again. And The Meaning of Life has a very great Christmas song at the end, in which all the characters from this one segment have died and they go to heaven, only to find out that heaven is Christmas every single day, which is great. So it has a great song, Christmas in Heaven, in it. But other than that, it's not really a Christmas movie. It's not a Christmas movie at all. The only time they mention it. But still, it's Christmas. I like to, you know, pop that song on and watch at least that scene in the movie. So I guess my feeling is Die Hard is a Christmas movie if you want it to be. And if you don't, it's fine. Then watch Elf, or watch, you know, White Christmas, or It's a Wonderful Life, or the various versions of A Christmas Carol that there are out there. Because it's Christmas. It's time to, you know, just be happy and just celebrate each other. And so with that said, I'll start wrapping things up here on my show. I've got only about 3 minutes left. And so I just wrap things up here by saying Avatar, if you liked the first one, definitely go check out this new one. I'm not going to say you won't be disappointed, but just warning you that this one is the next chapter on a 4-chapter series, so you kind of need to see this one if you're going to continue with the other ones. And it is visually absolutely stunning, and James Cameron is a great director, so the action and worth your while. I just, like I said, I had some issues with the plot. And then, of course, with the DC films, I'm looking forward to seeing what James Gunn is going to do with it. I'm just disappointed now that means that everything that we've already seen is now basically being thrown in the garbage. It's kind of like how with the Spider-Man films, how they did that when they threw out Sam Raimi's films and then threw out Mark Webb's films. But what was cool about the Marvel films is they went, you know what, we're going to bring them back anyway. So if you did like them, here, for you fans, they're coming back. Anyway, so, and then, of course, Die Hard. Yes, it's a Christmas movie if you want it to be, but it really isn't. Okay, so with that said, I'm going to wrap things up and say thank you all for listening. Please have a wonderful, wonderful holiday season. And please don't fight with anybody. It's Christmas time. So it's time to just say war is over if you want it. And just be happy. So everybody out there, have a wonderful, wonderful, merry, merry Christmas from me, Vince, here at Movie Talk from Vince. And I'll see you all next week. And we'll talk about whatever I feel like talking about. Maybe it'll be movies. Probably be movies. Anyway, have a great night, everybody, and a Merry Christmas. Take care. Christmas time is-